All right, welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Time for Raj Rant of the Day. I want to dedicate it to MLK Day. I know there are a lot of well-known facts about MLK and his greatness, but I want to get some of the more little-known facts about MLK.
Cool.
Go ahead, KD.
No, I'm sorry. I said cool. I mean, I feel like we always hear kind of, you know, not all the same stuff, but there's so much stuff to actually be said about the man.
Oh, my God. It is. And nobody really gets into it because some of it's not all of it's endearing. To me, it just shows you how much of just a multidimensional person that he was. And he was a complicated person, but also I think it just made him that much more great. Anyway, so here's some of the factoids. His birth name, original birth name is Michael King Jr. because he was named after his dad. His dad actually was a pastor at Atlanta Ebenezer Baptist Church, went to Germany, became obsessed with Martin Luther and the Reformation, and he actually changed his name from Michael King to Martin Luther King, and of course changed his 5-year-old son's name at the time to Martin Luther King Jr. And I got to tell you, Martin Luther King Jr. has more swag to it than Michael King Jr. Just does. That's just the truth. This second little factoid here, and this is actually one of those more grim facts about Martin Luther King, actually attempted suicide twice in his life. Both of those attempts related to his grandmother. At 12, his grandmother passed away. He jumped from a second-story window in his grief, and he ended up surviving and being okay. And when he was younger than that, he and his brother were playing, and they actually knocked his grandmother out. She was unresponsive at the time. He thought he killed his grandmother and tried to commit suicide as a result of it.
What?
And survived. He jumped out of a window, a second-story window. That's kind of his thing. It's weird. I know it sounds crazy. People don't talk about that because it was a strange story. It's like those teenage years for Jesus that they left out of those lost books from the Bible. Anyway, he originally got a C in public speaking his first year at seminary school, but later would become the valedictorian and class president. He was one of the 11 black students that actually was allowed to go to the school at the time. He was a genius. He skipped grades 9 and 12. He actually enrolled early in first grade at 5 years old, and the school expelled him and kicked him out because he was too young. The state did not allow kids that were younger than 6 to enter the first grade. He skipped grades 9 and 12, enrolled in Morehouse College at the age of 15, got his bachelor's at 19, got his PhD at 26 years old. He ended up getting 20 honorary degrees in his lifetime. He originally did not want to follow his father's footsteps and be a pastor, but he was convinced later that he had basically a divine mission that he was on to help people, and the man was right.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So is the is the teacher that gave MLK Jr. a C in public speaking, like the high school coach that cut Michael Jordan from the team?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Are they in the
no
same
doubt.
Boat
yes.
right there? Like, just the worst takes of all time.
Seriously, they're the worst takes of all time. But on both those, they end up being really good, because how many high school coaches or how many parents have told their kid after they got cut, "Hey, you know what? Michael Jordan got cut." And Rod, you could do the same thing. You know, you get your first C in something, and you go, "Hey, MLK got this in public speaking." There's always a chance to get better, right?
No doubt about it. Yeah, I totally agree. A lot of lessons you can learn from studying MLK. He also was jailed nearly 29 times, but guys, we all know that was mostly, and I think mostly all, non-violent offenses. MLK's favorite TV show was Star Trek. He was a big Trekkie. He actually went to talk to the black cast member, Nichelle Nichols, Yahira, I believe was her name on the show. She was the one that had the first U.S. Television kiss in American television history with a white man on television. William Shatner was that white man, very famous white man. And that kiss is really famous. She would not have been on the show. She was going to leave the show after the first season in 1966, but MLK convinced her to stay on and saying that you are an inspiration to black people everywhere because you are a powerful black figure on television. And Mae Jemison, the first black woman in space, actually said she looked up to Nichelle Nichols' character, Yahira, and that that's why she wanted to become an astronaut. So maybe cool. MLK was right about that. He's right about a lot of things. He was the youngest to ever win the Nobel Peace Prize at the time. That's no longer the case. He is still the youngest male to ever win the Nobel Peace Prize. But now there have been five women younger than he was. I think he was 32 at the time. Five women that are younger than he was when he won it. So, man, that's quite an accomplishment as well. He won a Grammy in 1971 for the best spoken word album in opposition to the Vietnam War. That was also something that he took a lot of pride in. Clarence B. Jones was a speechwriter for MLK, and he did point out that on the original draft of the I Have a Dream speech at the Lincoln Memorial, that he said he actually told Martin Luther King to not use the I Have a Dream sequence. He said he actually advised against it, said MLK had used it a few times, and he didn't think he should use it. In the original speech that Clarence B. Jones wrote, he left out I Have a Dream. MLK improvised after talking to Mahalia Jackson, who convinced him to share his dream with the world on that big stage. So the man knew how to freestyle, too. He also survived an assassination attempt by a woman, Izola Ware Curry. She stabbed him with a letter opener in his chest at a book signing in Harlem in 1958 when he was 29. He wrote a book. I forget the name of the book. It's escaping me right now. But at the book signing, she stabbed him. It was within. I mean, they say basically it grazed his aorta. If he had a sneeze or he had made any movements at all, unpredictable movements, they said it probably would have. It would have punctured his aorta or sliced it, and he'd be dead. He would have been dead sooner than, of course, he died anyway. She had a loaded gun on her, too, so she didn't pull the gun. God. She actually pulled the letter open and stabbed him. So I think MLK was on a mission of sorts, or at least God was definitely on his side. Here's another fact, I like this one. So MLK was not the only person to die on that day. He was assassinated at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis. Actually, Lorraine Bailey, who the hotel was named after, her husband owned the hotel, named it after Lorraine Bailey, who worked at the hotel. She actually not only was the wife of the owner, but she worked there. She worked the switchboard. She was a switchboard operator. She went out to watch MLK because she wanted to see him, because for black people, of course, MLK was a national hero before he became the national hero of today. And she was out there when the assassination happened. She was so startled by it. She actually had what has been described either a heart attack or a stroke. I've seen them both. And she never regained consciousness. She died actually a couple of days later. She had a stroke. She was so just awestruck by what she saw. She was tragically shocked by what she saw. She actually essentially died on the spot because of it. And she was a switchboard operator, so they were trying to get the ambulance to come to the Lorraine Motel sooner to try to save MLK, but they couldn't because they couldn't get the calls through because the switchboard operator had just had a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that crazy?
Isn't
that unbelievable?
Yeah, that is unbelievable.
Okay, so yeah, I'm keep going. I got some more stuff here. So on June 30, 1974, unfortunately, MLK's tragedy, or at least his family tragedy, was not over. His mother was actually also assassinated at Ebenezer Baptist Church, the church that he spoke at and the church that his father spoke at. Marcus Wayne Chenault Jr. on the front row drew pistols and started firing shots, said he intended to kill Martin Luther King's father, but the mom was closer, so he said he just wanted to kill her. They originally gave him the death penalty. The King family protested the death penalty, so the state actually rescinded it after the King family objected. So, you know, they were such advocates on the side of the guy that killed Miss King. It killed his mother, but they... To try to uphold the virtues of nonviolence that Martin Luther King stood for, they opposed the death penalty and they rescinded the death penalty. So he just did life in prison and didn't have to deal with the death penalty. Great family. Yeah. Another factoid here. When he died, the autopsy, or at least the doctor that performed the autopsy, said that at 39 years old, Martin Luther King Jr. had the heart of a 60-year-old man.
Wow.
That's the kind of stress that he was under at the time. He and George Washington and actually Christopher Columbus are the only Americans to have a holiday named in their honor. And George Washington and MLK are the only Americans to have their birthday observed as a national holiday in this great land, America. Also, it wasn't until 2000 that all 50 states observed MLK Day as a national holiday, among the last being Arizona and Utah and New Hampshire and South Carolina were some of the last states to try to ratify their local constitutions to make MLK Day a national holiday. A couple others while we got some time. Over 955, last count was probably in 2014, of 955 streets in America that have MLK as their namesake. So 955 MLK streets. We got one here in Austin. There are over 1,000 in the world. MLK actually was followed and spied on by his own government. The FBI spied on MLK. They actually, and this is actually pretty troubling, the FBI, it was actually printed by the New York Times. They sent him a letter asking him to kill himself. FBI Domestic Intelligence Chief William Sullivan at the time said after the I Have a Dream speech, "We must mark him now, if we have not done so before, as the most dangerous Negro of the future in this nation from the standpoint of communism, the Negro, and national security." After surveilling him and finding out that he had several affairs, infidelities, philanderers, all right, he was a cheater, cheated on his wife. They threatened to expose him, basically blackmailing him. And in a letter, I'll read some of it. It says, "In view of your low-grade abnormal behavior, I will not dignify your name with either a Mr. or a Reverend or a Doctor, and your last name calls to mind only the type of king, such as King Henry VIII and his countless acts of adultery and immoral conduct lower than that of a beast." It goes on to say that you should kill yourself.
Jeez.
The FBI actually sent, their lab technician sent sex tapes and this letter to Dr. King's home. Dr. King did not find it, but his wife, Coretta Scott King, did. So I'm sure that was not fun for Dr. King.
Yeah,
wasn't good.
And Rod, that would have been, wouldn't that have been maybe during JFK when he was president? I'm just trying.
Yeah, no, actually, no, you're right. Robert Kennedy actually was the one that signed off on the wiretaps on Martin Luther King.
Yeah, because he would have been attorney general. And I mean, I'm just pointing that out because if we took out every guy who was philandering, it'd be a lot shorter.
Oh, trust
list.
Me, I know. No, I totally agree. At the end of the letter, it does say, "King, there's only one thing left for you to do. You know what it is. You have just 34 days in which to do this for specific reasons. It is a definite practical significance. You are done. There is but one way out for you. You better take it before your filthy, abnormal, fraudulent self is bared to the nation." At the time that Dr. King was assassinated, he had a 33% approval rating, meaning 33% of Americans actually approved of what he was doing. Now he has a 90% approval rating in this country. So I know a lot of people are tweeting out about Dr. King, but keep in mind the reason that he's considered to be so brave and courageous is because he did not get a lot of support. In a 1966 Gallup poll, more than 60% of the public had a negative view of Dr. King. And 31% of Americans at the time he was assassinated said, quote, "They felt he brought it on himself." So it's amazing what he stood up to and what he did in the face of just pure evil at times.
Yeah.
And took this country from really an antiquated, archaic view of the world to the progressive, really fulfillment of what is true, what was supposed to be America, the true America, right? A land of opportunity, equal rights for all. He was the man that actually believed in it when others who were living, thought they were living that dream, were actually really, really blocking that dream for others. And so Dr. King deserves a lot of credit. I'm glad he's got a holiday. I'm glad people are observing. So happy Martin Luther King Day to everybody out there.
No doubt. Great
stuff.
Good stuff,
man.
That's
yeah.
Well said. Yeah. He accomplished a hell of a lot in 39 years on this earth, and his legacy is going to live on for generations to come. The time is always right to do what is right, gentlemen. It's one of my favorite Dr. King quotes. He's got a bunch of them out there. But great stuff, Rod. I'm glad that you took the time to give us some interesting factoids, too, some stuff that I didn't know about Dr. King. That was great.
Yeah, it's easy, too, always just to hear the holiday and then observe it, but more like, hey, we love Dr. King. Well, I mean,
a day off of school,
yeah,
day off of work.
Right, all that stuff. Well, let's actually read about it.
Right.
And Rod helped us out with that.
No doubt.